We just finished 3 days of prayer and fasting, and I'll tell you something. There's nothing more glorious than being able to seek the Lord and to cry out to God and to fast and pray, to get direction, to seek His face. There's no greater place to be in that place than when you seek the face of God. No greater place. And on the heels of this, I believe God has given me a word to share with you. It's fresh off the press, fresh from the ovens of heaven, fresh bread this morning, and that's why I've entitled this message Wonder Bread. Matthew 4, chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. That's my first text. I'll be having two texts this morning. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? That what? Proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Proceeds. Now this scripture and this word that Jesus spoke to the devil, as the devil was tempting him and tormenting him, Jesus responded by sharing this word that was written, and we see this word back in Deuteronomy 8 verses 3 and 4. God spoke and said that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is what Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy. When the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years, God gave them a word that Jesus used against the enemy when he was being tormented and tempted in the wilderness. And we see a parallel of the word of God, the preceding word of God. This morning, I'm not going to focus on the temptation of Jesus. I'm not going to focus in on the wilderness. I want to focus in on this one word. This one word is going to be the thread that goes throughout this message. And it's the word proceedeth. This is what gets my attention this morning. This word proceedeth, this proceeding word. This is important, brothers and sisters, because it suggests that God is not through speaking. That God isn't finished talking. And if God isn't finished speaking to His church, if God isn't finished talking to His church, to you and me, then we need to ask ourselves this very important question this morning. What is God saying to the church today? Today, in the year 2021, where many of us believe God is silent, where many people think that God has not or is not speaking today. You are so wrong, my dear brother and my dear sister. This is important. Because a lot of times in a lot of situations we respond to what God has said. We respond to what God has spoken. What He said in times past. And we continue on what He has said and not what He is saying right now in our midst. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. And I need to pause for a second. Because we need to be extremely careful when we are speaking about what God is saying now. Because a lot of times that's how cults are formed. A lot of times that's how false teachings arise. They say to you, someone might rise up, a leader might rise up and say, this is what the Lord is saying. So listen, God has given me a revelation, and this is what God is saying. And he begins to twist the word, adds from the word, takes away from the word, and a new cult forms. A new religion forms. And the Bible tells us emphatically not to add or take away from the word of God. So we need to be very careful when we talk about what is God saying today. We know that his word doesn't change. But is this what I am speaking about? Is this what Jesus said? No. We're not talking about the word, the Logos word. The word, the written word, we're not, that, the written word never changes. That's not what we're talking about this morning. So you need to stay with me as we go a little deeper today. The word does not change, but God is still speaking. He's still leading. He's still guiding by his Spirit. And he is still to this day giving us fresh food and fresh bread that we can live by. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. This is a present participle element to being led and to being fed by his Spirit. So as he leads by his Spirit, he speaks by his Spirit. And so, what is God saying to us today in this generation? What is he saying to me about my situation? What is God saying to me about my job? What is God saying to me about this pandemic? What is God saying to me about my marriage? What is God saying to me about my children? God, do you have a word for me that I need to receive that's personal? Do I have something that I need to receive from you that will give me insight to your will for my life, to for your direction about my life? Did not Samuel say in 1 Samuel 3, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth? This is what we're talking about. Lord, speak, for your servant heareth. This is what because God, listen, God's bread needs to be fresh. What is God saying to you today? Fresh today. Listen, even a Big Mac tastes horrible if the bun is stale. I don't want any stale bread. Nothing tastes good with stale bread. Now, I'm not a McDonald's fan, but you get what I'm trying to say. Fresh bread for the hour in which we live in is imperative, because we are living in turbulent times, my friend. There are things happening today, and there are things that are being twisted today. There are many voices today, many different teachings today, and we need to hear from God. What is God saying today? I need to hear his preceding word. Fresh manna. Not yesterday's word, today's word. Now I want you to see this. If you remember Genesis chapter 22, we know that God called Abraham. God gave, now watch this now, because we're doing a little bit of teaching this morning. God spoke to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want you to take thy son, thine only son, and I want you to sacrifice him. Really? Okay, Lord. Didn't fully grasp it. And he went to Mount Moriah. We know the story. He takes his son Isaac, his only son. Walks up Mount Moriah. There he is in the wood, getting ready to sacrifice his son, not fully understanding what he's doing, but obeying the word of God. And there he takes his knife, and all of a sudden he's about to slay him. And the Lord stops him, and the angel of the Lord, "Abraham, Abraham, stop it." I'll paraphrase it for you. "Don't do it, because now I know." God always knew, but he was testing Abraham. "That you love me, that you're loyal to me, and that I am first in your life, not your son." Now, here's my question, and here's the insight I want to share with you. If Abraham would have continued in what God had said to him, he would have slain his son. But God gave him a preceding word. It was fresh. If he didn't have ears to hear, he would have slain his son. Because hath God not spoken? Hath God not said? How many times do we operate in that vein? Hath God not said? See, the only reason Isaac was alive is because Abraham was in tune with the preceding word of God. What is God saying to you, my friend, today, right now? How many people are walking with God in what he said 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, walking in their own old wineskins? Old wineskins that can't be stretched because there's no flexibility. You're in an old mindset, old wineskins, old way of doing things. Yes, you're obedient enough to walk with God in what he has said, but you're not close enough or sensitive enough to hear what God is saying today in the year 2021. We're not talking about changing God's word. This is forever. We're talking about, what is God saying today? What is he saying to you? To me? Do you not understand? We have a destiny. You have a destiny. And you must hear what God is saying in these days, especially in these days. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of his belly." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. We talked about this 3 weeks ago. The candle brings light. Candle brings direction. There was no light bulbs, electricity back then. So the candle of the Lord, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord that gives light, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God wants to reveal something to you, to me. He wants to bring light. He wants to illuminate something deep within your own spirit. And he's searching. That tells me it's proceeding. It's proceeding. It's searching. He's guiding. He's leading. He wants to illuminate. He wants to show. You see, if you don't hear the preceding word of God, there are casualties, my friends. Casualties. Listen, if Joshua didn't hear the preceding word of God, he would have never made it deeper into the land of Canaan. And I'll tell you why. In Joshua chapter 6, what did God tell Joshua concerning Jericho? I've talked about this many times. What did he say about Jericho? Okay, Elaine, you keep saying, okay, tell me what happened.
He told him they gave him an instruction to march around the wall, but the whole point was that he was not to touch anything.
And he was to go into what? And what part and time of the day was he supposed to go into Jericho? Do you remember?
It was in the day.
The day. Now, since you're doing so well, what happened the very next episode in Ai? By night.
But he was to take all of this.
Everything. So he was in tune with God's preceding word. Are you with me on this? God said to Joshua, go attack Jericho by day, don't touch anything. And he said, okay, well, that's how God operates. Okay, so I'm just going to continue to do this everywhere I go. But that's not what happened. The very next city, it was the very opposite. Needs to be in tune with what the Lord is saying, otherwise there will be casualties. This is extremely important, especially in the day in which we live in. The point is, friends, there are casualties when there is deafness. There are casualties when all you have is religion and tradition. Because tradition and religion will tell you that's how it always was, that's how it always is. And when you're religious, you're deaf to the wineskins being stretched. You're not sensitive. He that hath an ear, Jesus said, let him hear what the Spirit is what? Is. Saying means present participle. Is saying, not was said, or said 20 years ago. Is saying. He keeps speaking by his Spirit. You see, man can only be sustained by his preceding word. And if my survival depends on it, then I need to hear what God is saying right now. See, friends, some of you who come to church, God bless you. Some come for a little bit of inspiration, to get a little bit motivated. I want to be in church, and that's great, and that's fine. But some of us come to church because we need direction. We're hungry. We need to hear God's voice. And we come and we listen to the Word of God with open heart because I want to hear what God is saying. And there's a sense of desperation. It's not just another service. Could this be fresh manna? Today, Lord, I need your fresh manna. I've come to meet with you. You see, it's a different mindset. You're sensitive. You're open to hear something fresh. You see, this is important because I must confess to you, my friends, I get a little bit in trouble. I get into a lot of trouble, in fact, a lot of trouble in my own ways, if I think of things that I've done and how I operate and it's how it's always was and it's just the way it is and God doesn't, you can get yourself into some serious trouble when you put God in a box and you say this is how God operates and this is how it always is. Friends, you will never be sensitive to what God is saying if you have that kind of mindset. There are casualties to deafness. So I need to hear clearly, what are you saying, Lord, at this crossroad in my life? Lord, what are you saying in this pandemic that we are experiencing? This crossroad, this fork, this dilemma that we are in. Lord, is there something that you're saying that I'm not listening? Is there something that you're saying that I'm not hearing in this juncture in my life? I don't want to quit my job if you're not telling me to quit, Lord. I don't want to take that step to move if you're not speaking to me, Lord. I don't want to get married to that woman, to that man, if you're not speaking, Lord, if you're not letting me know. I don't want to operate in my own understanding. I don't want to operate in my own rationale. I don't want to operate in my own reasoning. Because, Lord, I've learned that my own reasoning might be the very opposite of what you want to do. I've learned, Lord, that things that might seem to look right on the outside might be the very opposite of what you want to do in my life. So, Lord, let me be sensitive to what you are saying. I need fresh manna. I need that wonder bread. I need it fresh. I want to be led by your Spirit, Lord. I want to hear what you're saying. I need to hear what you're saying. I need to hear what you're saying. And I've got good news for you, my brothers and my sisters. God still speaks today. And I got something fresh to share with you. It's found in Ephesians 1:17. It's a powerful word. And I'm going to let this resonate within you today. Ephesians tells us, take the helmet of salvation, watch this now, and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? Now let me give you a little bit of an insight. The word of God is not the logos word in the Greek. It's the revelatory word. It's the preceding word. It's the word that is from the word, but it's fresh for you. It's like something you haven't seen, and all of a sudden the lights come on. It's not the word that's been changed. No. It's the revelatory. It's the illuminating word. I need an illuminating word. I need a word that's alive and fresh, that speaks to me. Why do you think Paul said in the same chapter, same book, chapter 1, Lord, open their eyes that they might understand and see. Read it for yourselves, Ephesians 1, I believe, verse 17. I need to see. I need to hear. Because, Lord, I might not see clearly. Because, Lord, I may have been in the church for 30 years, but I might need to change. And I'm so set in my ways, I'm not sure I see it properly. I need to hear your voice. I need to be directed by your Spirit. See, the question is not whether God still speaks. The question is, are you listening? Am I listening? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Present participle. What is he saying to Logos, Mr. Board Member? I know how the church used to operate, but what's he saying today? Miss Intercessor. What's he saying today? Did not the Lord say, call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you? Amen. Proceeding. Proceeding. It's proceeding. I will. Call upon me and I will show you. So whether you call upon me in 1925 or you call upon me in 2021, I'm going to show you. It's proceeding. It's continuous. Because what I'm saying in 1921 may not be what I'm saying in 2021. Are y'all with me? Preceding word, the preceding word. I need, Lord, there's something happening in our world today. Things are changing. Lord, you got to show me. You got to speak to me. You got to let me see what's going on. Let me understand. No. This is important. And I know it's hard sometimes to discern the voice of God. I understand that to discern what God is saying can be confusing because we're living in a very noisy time today. There's a cacophony of sound echoing from almost every corner. Everybody's got their opinion. We're in the most opinionated society that there ever has been is today. Do this, don't do that, take this, don't take that, get up here, don't. It's just constant. Everybody's got a word. Everybody's got something to say. Somebody's saying somebody. And even within the body of Christ, there's all kinds of opinions. Nothing seems to be clear. And I know that the circumstances, and it's so easy to get distracted, and it's so easy to fall into a trap or fall into a certain element because of what you're hearing, what you're seeing. It could be very confusing today. A lot of noise all over the place. It's hard when it's noisy. God, what are you saying? Well, I'm reminded of Peter. They're in a boat in the midst of a storm, and they see this ghost. They just this what? It's just, and it's Jesus. And Peter, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus says, come, Peter. And there's a storm, noise, tempest, ominous winds blowing fiercely. There's all kinds of distractions. Peter looks into the face of Jesus and begins to walk on water, and everything's fantastic. Couldn't be in a better place. But all of a sudden, he starts listening to the voices and to the noise, and he begins to see the clouds and the darkness. And we all know he begins to sink. The noise distracted him. The circumstances distracted him. And the voice of Jesus that he heard faded away. Listen, friends, I'm convinced that this is the noisiest time. I tell you, the noisiest time that we have had in our lives. It's never been more noisy than today. Noise is everywhere. You see, friends, there's a reason why the Bible says to be still and know that I'm God. We have to get away from that noise and get away from the and find our place where we can be still, so I can hear the preceding word of God, so I can hear what God is saying. Lord, what are you saying? See, there's a reason why the Bible says he leadeth me beside still waters. I got to find some still waters, because if I don't find some still waters, I can be easily, so I can succumb to the distractions and to the noise and to the turbulence. I can very easily fall into that pattern and begin to do things that are that I shouldn't be doing, because I'm listening to these voices. I'm being distracted. What is God saying to me today? What is he saying to the church today? I got to hear his voice. If God is going to restore, to revive, to renew, if God is going to speak to you and to me, you need to get into that calm place, away from the crowds and the noise, and begin to pray and cry out to God. That's what Jesus did. They wanted him to be king. They wanted Jesus. They pulled from every side. They were out of press constantly. And he got away. And what did he do? This is Jesus. He got away to the mountain. And the Bible says in Luke that he continued all night in prayer before his Father. Get away from the noise. Get away from all the turbulence. You see, that's why the devil wants to keep you busy. I want to park here. Can I just park my car for 2 minutes? Won't be long. Just give me 2 minutes parking here, or maybe a minute. That's why the devil wants you to be busy all the time. And you think that's being spiritual. No, it's not. It can be, but usually it's not. That's why the devil wants you to be active all over the place. Get you busy here, do this, go up here, down. Listen, friends, if he gets you so busy that you can't hear God's voice, that's exactly where he wants you. And he's deceived you by thinking you're doing spiritual things. Listen, anything that robs you from spending time with God is not of God. Remember, he's a strategist. He'll do whatever he can to dissuade you and confuse you, bring some noise in your life, and you got to figure out how to fix that noise. Listen, let me tell you something. Friends, look, you can run around I've learned this lesson a long time ago. When I first started in ministry, if you had a hiccup or a cold, I was at your door right away. If there was any issue, nobody would be quicker than I would. And I found myself, wait a minute. Things aren't really getting any better. I'm just getting worse. And I was so busy, I didn't pray as much. And I would try to justify it by saying, well, look, I'm doing the work of the Lord. No, I'm not. I'm just succumbing to people's whims. That's all I'm doing. Listen, friends, the devil will try to make you so busy, cause things to happen in your life, because if he can get you so busy that it takes you away from being still before the Lord and praying, then he's got you exactly where he wants you. Busy, busy, busy. You see, the devil can't stop God from speaking to you, because that's what God wants to do. But he'll try to stop you from listening to what God is saying. Now that's for somebody. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you've got to slow down. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but stop being so busy. Now, I'm not saying don't work. I'm not saying don't get involved. Please don't misunderstand me. You know what I'm talking about, busy. Always have to do something. It's almost as if you can't be still. And if you can't be still before, something is wrong, my friend. Something's wrong. Slow down and find that closet. Begin to cry out to God. Listen, sometimes the devil will also, he gets very creative at times. Remember, he's a strategist. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? And what? The Bible says in Ephesians, be careful because what? He's a schemer. And the Bible calls it the wiles of the devil. We are fighting the wiles, which is the Greek word schemos, which is the word schemes in the English. He's got schemes. He's got strategies. And he's out to try to dissuade you and try to bring you into a place away from what you think you are, from God's will and what you think might be God's will. And what he'll do? Oh yeah, he might introduce you to some people. He might even open doors for you. Oh yeah. He'll cause certain things to take place. He's a strategist. He's a deceiver. And he uses people to deceive people. And then he opens doors that seem to be great doors, but they're not good doors at all. They're false doors. And I'll tell you something, friends. When I went to Los Angeles, I had my dream, and I'm not going to get into that, but I want to give you something that I fell by. And I'll tell you, when I went there to be this entertainer, and I can tell you, friends, I was only there for about 6 months. All of a sudden, all these doors started. I gave I was coming to Christ. I gave my life to Christ. And all of a sudden, as I gave my life to Christ, all these doors started opening. I had this Hollywood production company call me. I had Columbia Studios, Paramount Studios, NBC called me, CBS called me, Quinn Martin Productions called me. All these different Hollywood companies. What else was there? Oh, there was another major one. They all called me to do these parts in films and commercials and TV. I was asked to do. They even wrote a part for me, and I wasn't. They only do that for actors that are established. I couldn't believe the opportunities I was getting. All these doors were opening up. Once I got saved. But what? To get me off track. And I would even hear, what do you need God for? Here. The devil was opening up all these doors. And then I had one door. I had a major, major television production. You all know I was supposed to do a major series called Vegas. It was the top program back in the day in the 80s, and I was ready to do it, but I needed to get married because I needed a green card. Couldn't work in the States without a green card. And wouldn't you know it? I had all these women wanting to marry me out of nowhere. That's right. I'm not exaggerating, my friends. This is the truth, and I've shared this before. Every moment I had an opportunity. I even had the people to marry. Everything was set. Three different times I was supposed to get married. Three different times. These women came out of nowhere. And three different times God miraculously shut the door. If I would have married one of those girls, I would not be standing here today. When I went to Hollywood, I had all these doors open up that would have never opened up. I had all these women come to me that would have never come to me. But the devil wanted me to take those positions, to respond to that, to walk through that door. But God in his mercy shut that door. Because the devil is a strategist. And that applies to you and me, my friends. in your daily life. Listen, God is interested in the affairs of men. He's interested in your life. And there's activities and situations that go on in your life each and every day, and the enemy will try to thwart God's plans for you because you are important in the eyes of God. God has destiny for you and purpose for you, and the enemy wants to thwart that plan. And he'll use people, he'll use opportunities, he'll use doors, anything possible. We're in a battle. Listen, I need to hear from God. I need fresh manna from heaven. God, my children depend upon it. My future depends upon it. My life depends upon it. So Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Are you spending time in the secret place to hear him? Or are you going by popular opinion? What man is saying, what he is saying, or how it used to be. No, friends, here it is. This is important. Are you ready for this? I want to take a little shift. I need to understand that when we, watch us now, and here's the key. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit makes all the difference in the world. Because, brothers and sisters, we have the Holy Spirit, this truth is what sets you apart from everyone else. Because the Holy Spirit does something in you that is so unique. The Holy Spirit is not only your comforter, John 16, he's also the one who leads, Romans 8. He's also the one who empowers, Acts 1:8. And he's also the one who speaks, 1 Samuel 3. He speaks. He has a fresh word for you, for your situation, and for the time. The children of Issachar in Chronicles 16, first, were different from the rest of the tribe because they were able to discern what God was saying in their generation. Are y'all with me on this? So we need to ask ourselves, what is God saying in the month of October, the year 2021? What is God saying to you? What is he saying to me? It's important. The Holy Spirit will speak. You have inside information. Did you know that? The Christian has inside information. You can hear. You can see things. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he shall not speak of himself. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal. He will show you and bring fresh manna from heaven into your life. Listen, he'll come from heaven's boardroom, if you will, with a word from God in your heart. He will speak to you. He will give you a word. But are you listening? This is the way ye should walk, Isaiah said. Walk in it. This is the way. I'm going to give you a fresh understanding of how to walk. I'll give you insight and direction of what path to take. You don't have to operate the way he operated or she operated or the way that there's, I can bring something, I can show you something you didn't see before. Paul prayed, open their eyes, Lord, that they might see. Some of us don't even pray that way because we're so satisfied with the way things are or were that you don't want to see anything different. There are casualties, my friend, to that kind of thinking. That's how you become stale. That's how you become ineffective. That's how you become religious. When you keep saying that's how it used to be. Speak, Lord. I need to hear what you're saying. You see, friends, God isn't always big on details. Now stay with me. What do you mean by that? Well, he was big on details when God created the earth. I understand that. God was very big on details when he gave Noah the directions and specific directions on how to build the ark. He even left out the rudder. No rudder, because I'll be your rudder. How specific is that? He was very specific when he gave Moses the details about the tabernacle. Ah! But he's not always specific with details when it comes to dealing with your life. Stay with me. How many times has God told you something, but it's not clear? You don't have all the details. I can tell you honestly, in my life, that's the way it seems to be all the time. I'll tell you something, I'll give you a word, but you're going to have to trust me with those details as you step out day by day. I will speak to you. I will guide you. I will speak. Listen. When God gave a word to Abraham, he told him, yeah, you'll be a father, Abraham. How old was Abraham? 75 years old, correct? When did God tell him when you will have a child? No. So for the next 25 years, what happened to Abraham? He almost lost his mind. He got confused. He went to Egypt, found a concubine, thought, well, maybe God wants me to have a baby with Hagar. He didn't tell Abraham when you're going to be dried up, your wife dried up, not able to give birth. He didn't go into details of what's going to happen, the pain you went through. He didn't tell him exactly the things that you're going to go through before you have your child at 100. God didn't give him a blueprint. How many times has God spoken to you, but you don't have the blueprint, but you just got to trust him? My friends, I've seen this over and over and over again. Jeremiah, God was praying. He was praying, God, what are you doing? Why are you sending the Babylonians? I don't understand what's going on with it. You go to the potter's house and I'll speak to you. And God gave revelation to Jeremiah one step at a time. But can we go further? The Apostle Paul in Acts 16, he was mightily called on the Damascus Road. He even saw Christ. God's call was upon him. He was eventually introduced to the church by Barnabas. Things were happening. Great things were taking place. But he was confused in what to do. He didn't know where to go at one point. And in Acts 16, he tells us he wanted to preach. He knew he was called. Didn't know where to go. He ends up going to Mysia. God spoke to him and says, no, it's not there. That's not where you're supposed to be. Okay, Lord, I'm not sure. But and then he ends up going to Bethania. That wasn't the place he was supposed to go. He ends up in Troas. That's not the place. And finally, he gets a vision to go to Macedonia. He didn't give him the specific details. He had to trust him. One step at a time. One step at a time. In my life, my friends, can I be, when God told me to go pastor certain churches in the past, if I would have known the details of what was going to happen in those churches, I wouldn't have taken those churches. Don't let me expand on that one either. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes God keeps us from the details because he knows if he gives you the details, you'll probably do what comes natural to you, run or hide. My God. So he keeps details from us for a reason. So I need to be sensitive to what he's saying each day because I don't have the full picture. Is anybody getting this or getting something out of this? Amen. And so, now, and because of that, some of you, now this is a word for somebody, need to stop asking so many questions. Oh, but Lord, how come, why, and what if, and you go through all these questions, questioning everything, what, and you go through this, I call it the paralysis of analysis. You go, what is, how come, why, and what if, and if I'm not able, and if you don't have, and if I can't, and if I don't get to this, and then I, you ask too many questions. Listen, friends, I've said this to the two T's of my sermons. You got to trust him when you can't trace him. And when you're trusting him, you can't ask too many questions because they won't get answered. You got to step out and trust and believe. Period. And it's hard for some of us who are very heady. It's very hard for intellectual people or those that are well studied to do that, because we're so used to studying and getting information and everything's got to make sense and everything's got to be rational. Well, let me tell you something, friends, here's a rude awakening for some of you. God is not rational. He's just not, because his ways are not our ways. God won't always or do something in your life or my life that will always make sense, and it will not always compute, and it will not always be the way you perceive it, because he doesn't operate the way you and I operate. So we need to stop asking all these questions and start trusting God. Now we come to my second text this morning. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 to 20. We'll look at Romans 8. If you got that for me, George. Begin at verse 26 is the key verse. Likewise, the Spirit also, notice, the Spirit, notice, helpeth our what? Our infirmities, our weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings and moanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he searches, there's that word search again, like we found in Proverbs 20:27. He searches the hearts, knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit is making intercession in your spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. This is the New Testament version of Proverbs 20:27. My God, his word is so powerful. But there's something very deep going on in these two verses. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Helpeth our infirmities. This is the first element to this verse. The Spirit didn't come into our wholeness. He comes into our brokenness, humility, contrition of heart. The Holy Spirit comes because I need him. I'm broken. I'm scared. I'm hungry. I need direction. Show me. Lord, I need you to speak to me. God is saying, I chose you. So when I stand up in you, they will know it is me and not you. My infirmities. They will know you couldn't have done that on your own. They will know, likewise, the Spirit helpeth us in our infirmities, not in our wholeness. You see, not only do we not know his voice at times, and we need to be sensitive to hearing it, and not his voice that was, stay with me, but we don't know what to pray for at times. I hate to shake you a little bit, my spiritual friend. But you don't know how to pray for at times, nor do I. And if you be honest with yourselves, you'll give me an amen this morning. Because we don't always know. So we need God to show us. We need his Spirit to speak through us, to intercede through us. My God. Notice. This is important. We don't know what to pray at times. And because we don't know what to pray at times, sometimes my prayer takes another direction. We end up in the flesh. Carnal prayers. My thoughts wander. The point, there are times I just don't know how to pray. Lord, is this the job you want me to take? I don't know. Lord, is this the person you want me to marry? I don't know. Is this the church you want me to go to, Lord? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It sounds right, it looks right, but I'm not sure. I have this weakness. I don't know. I don't see. I open my eyes, Lord. I need you to show me my life. This is important, and I'm at a juncture in my life. I need to hear you. I need to hear you. Should I move? Should I stay? We know not what to pray for as we ought. We don't know. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings and moaning. Groanings. Oh, I like the Spirit. There's a deep groaning inside. I believe your spirit is right here. The belly. Bible speaks the belly. Your spirit. Something inside of you. You don't know exactly what you're, but something starts to rise up. And so you don't know what you're doing. You're in that prayer closet. And all of a sudden, as you're waiting on, something begins to stir. And there's a moaning. You can't even express it. It's like you're giving birth. Something's stirring inside of you. A groaning and moaning. And I'll tell you, here Thursday night in our days of prayer and fasting, on Thursday, there was a time in the congregation I sensed that groaning taking place through a couple of individuals. Something powerful and intense took place. A groaning of intercession. Yes, it's deep down, deep. And it happens till Christ's nature is birthed in you. Something powerful, a birthing state. That's why Paul prayed in Galatians. He talked about, I travailed in prayer for you. So Christ be formed. I birthed you, but it's like a mother giving birth to it. Do you know how I've seen my wife give birth 3 times. I tell you, it's a deep birthing. There's a groaning. There's no way you can give birth without a groaning. There's no way you can give birth without some kind of pain. There's no way you can give birth without something taking place. That's what happens in the spirit realm. My God. Stirring, there's a birthing, there's something beyond this natural realm. It's not you, it's the Spirit of God is making intercession, and there's a groaning. You can't even express it. You're giving birth in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is travailing and warring in you. The Spirit is working in you and inside of you. That's why I believe in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I believe it says, he that begun a good work, he shall complete it. Begun what? In you. There's a work in you. The Spirit is working in you with groaning. Sometimes it's painful. Now, I haven't experienced it many times in my life, but I have. I certainly have. A groaning that comes in and you're not sure, but it's just something so powerful. And you begin to pray in a way you don't pray normally. It's deep. Deep is calling unto deep. Deep inside of you, your spirit is groaning. I remember when I was in Bible college, a good friend of mine, we had a prayer meeting going on, and this man just started to groan. My gosh, it was just, and wail before the Lord. And he didn't understand why, but he was groaning and moaning, and he had an insight. He wasn't sure. He was praying for somebody, but it was overseas, and he wasn't sure. And he was praying, and he just warring and praying and groaning and interceding. And it was at least an hour I was with him. I couldn't express it, but he knew it was, but just wasn't sure. But the Spirit just took over within. The next day, the Bible college got a phone call from a missionary in Uganda. True story. And the missionary asked, was somebody praying for me yesterday around this time? And when the change of time, the different change in time zones, we discovered it was around the same time that my friend Peter was praying. He says, I believe someone was praying for me, and he begins to say why. We were attacked by the Muslim extremists in Uganda. They were out to kill us, and they took my Jeep, and they kind of threw me off the road, and they were going to kill us. And It was the most incredible moment of my life. I thought my life was, I was going to die right there, and something just stopped them. It's hard for me even to describe it. Was there somebody praying for us? This missionary had a sense there was somebody in the Bible college, and good enough it was. It was Peter, my friend. The Spirit interceding through you with moanings and groanings. Cannot even, you're not even sure, but that something is rising. This is the deepest form of prayer. Now I have to pause for a moment. Did not Jesus say, "They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth"? Spirit in truth. Spirit speaks of the Holy Spirit, and truth speaks of His Word, the truth of God's Word. But this Word is a revelatory Word. They're married together. Worship me in spirit and truth. This is why we need to be focused on spiritual matters, setting your affections on things above. But unfortunately, my friends, we are so earthly minded. We do more for the flesh than we do for the spirit. Yes, everything seems to be about the flesh. The flesh. Yes, what the flesh wants, the flesh gets. That's why Jesus went on a fast, to deny himself. So he can become more sent. His humanity. He's the God-man, remember. He's as much God as he is man. He fast. The fasting part of Jesus was not for his deity, but for his humanity. And he fasted 40 days. And in Luke, the Bible tells us after that fast, after he was baptism, then he went on, after the fast, he went to the baptism. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, that he went into the city with power. He was rejuvenated. He was refreshed after the fast. He was empowered after the fast. The fast denies the flesh, focuses on eternal spiritual matters. The fast. And then in Luke chapter 6, the Bible says after that period of time, he ends up in the mountain again. He's praying. So he's fasting, and now he's praying, and he's on the mountain. The Bible says, and we find out as he comes off the mountain after prayer, he chooses his disciples after he prayed. After he prayed all night. So watch this. I want you to see the thread. He fasted and prayed. He was tempted by the devil. Fasted and prayed 40 days. After that, he's empowered. He was ministered by the angels. He's empowered. He goes into the cities with this fresh anointing. Later on, as he experiences the power of God through him, many miracles, many things, he takes some time again to pray. Always, he's praying in the mountain. He comes down off the mountain in Luke 6, and what does he do? He chooses his disciples. He has fresh insight, direction. Remember, this is in his humanity. He's as much man as he is God. That's why he prayed. Why would Jesus pray if he's God? Because he was part man. Are y'all with me? Fresh manna, Lord! Who are my disciples? It needed fresh manna because he chose Judas. Would you choose Judas to be one of your disciples? But if you got fresh manna flowing for you, if you got God's will going and God's insight, you'll pick Judas because you know that Judas will be the one that will propel him to be betrayed and bring him to the cross. So you need a Judas. But you would have never chosen Judas if you were not in the Spirit. You would have chosen disciples that make sense to you. You would have never chosen Judas. But if you're in the Spirit, you would. Oh, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but somebody's getting something. And so, the reason your flesh is running your life is because you are more focused on the outside than on the inside. Just think about even coming to church. Some of us will spend an hour getting ready for church, and we haven't even prayed that morning yet. Oh my God, that's something. Oh, you've had your breakfast and you've had your coffee. Maybe you've watched the news, and now it's time to get ready for church, and you spend an hour getting ready. And you come to church and you expect to hear from God? Really? No, I didn't. flesh, the flesh is so active, it's so alive, up and down. I'm lonely, I'm frustrated, I'm bored, I'm upset, I need this, I'm hungry, I'm hurt, I'm offended, I'm the flesh. Mike, it's all about the flesh. It's the flesh. Can't hear God's voice if you're always operating in the flesh. My God. Flesh. But when you worship Jesus, and you fast and you pray like we just did the last 3 days and continue. Listen, friends, day of prayer and fast is not over. The 3 days are over here, but it's not over. You never finish praying. You're not finished. When you worship and you pray and you seek God and you surrender your life, surrender your agenda. So I don't care what it's about me and what I want all the time and what. When you surrender all that, you surrender and you lay at his feet. When the deepest part of you, oh, here it is, cries out to the deepest part of God, whoo, something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. A preceding word will happen. Fresh manna will happen. A preceding word. Gotta close, but before I do, there's one of the greatest stories. I'm going to preach on this possibly next week, Lord willing, see how the Lord leads. One of the greatest stories in the entire Bible is found in Matthew 15 about the Syrophoenician woman. Syrophoenician, she was a Lebanese woman, to put it in the vernacular, from Lebanon. She was desperate. She wanted to hear from God. She traveled all the way. She finally meets the disciples of Jesus first, who gave her a discouragement. Get out of here. You're a woman. What are you doing here? Get out. We have no time for you. You're a Gentile. Goodbye. Jesus has got no time. Finally ends up speaking to Jesus. It didn't seem that Jesus was much of an encouragement to her either. Well, I appreciate you come all this way, but it's not meat for me. It's not proper to give my bread. Oh, there's that word, bread. Manna. Not appropriate for me to give my manna, this bread, to people like you. No offense, but you know, you're a Gentile, and I've come to give this manna to the children of Israel. Is that true or not? Did that not happen? Did that not happen? Are you sure? Any doubts here? No. You can read it for yourself. He answered and said, is it not meat to take the children's bread and cast it? I didn't even give you the word dogs. Now that's the most derogatory, but dogs is not a dog animal that we, dogs is a word for pagans or heathens. He called her a dog. Now most of us would have been offended. How dare you? You're Jesus? You, Jesus? What, have walked away upset, miserable, bitter, upset, in the flesh, get angry? Flesh, 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 upset? She would have been upset. She would have lost her blessing. My God. If she would end up in the flesh, she would have. But Jesus gave her the word. I've not come for you. But the word changed. She got a preceding word. When? When did she get a preceding word? When she began to worship him. When she cried out to God and fell on her face. He said, Jesus, I've come all this way, man. I've got no, listen, I know what you said. I know what they said, but Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus gave her a preceding word. First he said, no, I didn't come to give you. But now he says, wow. I say, wow. He says to her in verse 28, Great is your faith, she expressed her desire even for crumbs. I don't want a whole loaf. Just give me one crumb, man. And Jesus marveled at her faith. And he answered and said, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. What? I got a preceding word. God said no, but now he says yes. And her daughter was made whole. Wow. I interceded. I cried out to God. And I was able to hear something. I heard the preceding word. I heard what God is saying now. What is God saying now? Gotta close. Acts 13. I got even a more powerful, I believe, story in some respects. Acts 13, and we close with this. God's preceding word. Acts 13. As they ministered, as they worshiped, as they interceded, and they fasted. Oh, there's those things again. Worship, intercession, fasting. Not murmuring and complaining and fussing and getting angry. They ministered to the Lord and they fasted. There's that word fast again. The Holy Ghost. What? The Holy Ghost. What? Holy Ghost said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. What are you saying now, Lord? The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Hold on. What? Lord, hold on a second. Why would you want... I know they have a few problems, but did not you say that Paul and Barnabas were supposed to be together in this? Didn't you say this before? Didn't you call them together? Didn't you bring... Barnabas was on the first missionary. What? You called him. Separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Right here. C-A-L-L-E-D. Called. Called. I called you. That's what happened. That was my word. But let's move on. And when they had fasted and prayed, oh God, do I have a fresh word? Do I got some wonder bread? Do I got some fresh manna? And they laid their hands, oh my, and sent them away. They laid hands. Now watch what happens in verse 4. My God. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, by what? By the board members? No. By man? No. By human intuition? No. By the Holy Spirit departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Samaria. Separate Barnabas from Paul. And now I've got somebody else to go with Paul. And his name is Silas. Now here's my point. God called originally Paul and Barnabas. But now, I know they had disputes. That's just human. That's just natural. I want to change that because what Paul needs to, and who he needs with him now is no longer Barnabas. He's going to need a Silas. So I allowed this schism for a reason. But now my will take place. And you needed to hear my voice, Paul. You needed to hear my preceding word. Because if you're going to go by what I said, you would have stuck with Barnabas and it would have been a disaster. Stop holding on to Barnabas when God is calling you to be with Silas. My God, what is God saying to me today? What can't I let go of that keeps me in the land where I should not be, in the place where I should not be? Oh, my friends, it's time to seek the face of God today more than ever. I know the days of prayer and fasting is over. It's just begun. Oh my God, it's time to worship. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Yeah. Yes, worship. Worship him. Seek him till what your father did to you years ago doesn't hurt anymore. To what your mother did to you years ago doesn't hurt anymore. Seek him. Pray. Cry out. Look. Intercede. God has a word. Maybe he's saying, separate yourself from Barnabas. Maybe he's giving you new direction that you don't see. Help me, Lord. I need you. I need fresh manna. I'm anointed, but I'm still rough around the collar. I'm led by God, but I still need something fresh, Lord. Help me, oh God, to hear what you're saying in this noisy land in which I live in. Touch me, oh Lord. Open my eyes. Remove the cataracts. Take away these old wineskins that have embalmed me. I need new wineskins. Can we all stand together, please? Every head bowed. I don't know where you're at today. I know God gave me this word that I know. I know that I know that I know that I know, and it's for someone. And I know I'm saying singular, but no, it's plural. There's a whole group of people that needed to hear this morning. Many of you are here, and some of you on Facebook, some of you on YouTube. This arguably could be the most important message of your life in the last 10 years. You've been holding on to Barnabas too long. To the old too long. You've been making decisions in the flesh too long. You've been saying this is how it used to be too long. You need fresh manna, fresh manna, fresh manna. Fresh for your life, for your situation, for your condition. Stop listening to what he says, she says all the time. What is God saying? Stop listening to what tradition says. What is God saying? Stop listening to what they have said. What is God saying to you? To you. We're going to sing a chorus. And we're going to pray. But as we sing this chorus, sing it as a prayer this morning.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
Oh, here's my bread coming. Here's this manna coming.
This is my daily.
Oh, preceding word, oh God.
This is my daily bread. Your very word.
Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.
Thank you.
speak to those in this church, those on Facebook, YouTube. I got 7 spots here. That's all we can do. If you're in a place right now, in a crossroads in your life, you need direction. I know how it used to be, but you need direction. If you're in a place in your life where you're unsettled with your job, there's some ambiguity going on, there's some confusion. Is this where I'm supposed to? If you're in a situation where you need to know God's will for your life, as far as, should I get married? I'm not sure, Lord. Is this the right person, Lord? You're in a situation that a door is open. Lord, am I to... Is this the door you're... I'm not sure, but is this the door? Is this the place you... You're in a situation where... You're desperate, you're hungry. You're tired of the old. You want a fresh touch. Spirit to move in your life. Call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How does he show you? By his Spirit. No one's going to lay hands on you. No one's going to speak into your life physically. God is going to speak. Now, we only have 7 places here, but that's okay. God knows where you are and who you are, and you might be in that situation, and that's fine. But those that will step out right now and come, we're going to cry out to the Lord together. We're going to seek God. So we're going to cry out and have the Lord even intercede through us. We're just going to open our hearts and God, just speak. Show me, guide me. Those on Facebook, I want you to stand if you're sitting. Stand wherever you are. Those on YouTube, just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet and begin to call upon the Lord. Ask God to speak to you. To reveal to you divine revelation, guidance. Show me which way I should walk, Lord. I'm walking this way, but Lord, I'm not sure. Is it this way you want me to go? I need direction in my life. God is going to speak. I'm not going to speak. She's not. God is going to speak by his Spirit. He will illuminate. The Spirit of God illuminates. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly. Belly is a picture of the spirit. So God will speak to your spirit by his Spirit. My God. My God. Speak. Speak, Lord. This is the air I breathe.
This is the air
I want you to start praying. Lord, just show me. Lord, just speak to me. Just begin to pray deep within your heart. It doesn't have to be audible. It could be just within your own spirit. Just cry out to the Lord. Lord, I need direction. I need you to show me. I need a fresh word. I need a fresh word from you, Lord. Oh, my God. My God. This morning, yes, Lord.
This is my day. Oh,
Syrophoenician woman was desperate. She was desperate. And God honored her faith, changed the verdict. Hezekiah was told by God's word through the prophet Isaiah, pack up your bags, Isaiah. Clean your house. Get your house ready. You're going to die. This is the word of the Lord. You're going to die. Hezekiah got desperate. He cried out to God. Lord, if I can just live a little longer, Lord, just a little longer. God saw his heart, his wailing, his crying out, his desperation. God sent him another word, a preceding word. You're going to live. But Lord, I thought you said I'm going to die. You're going to live.